This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 303. Massage parlors do wonders for your health. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking
girl
best
gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister,
and Pandalicious happens to be my name.
And we are back with a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. How was your week, Panda?
Swag.
Seriously, I was gonna say that.
No you weren't. Yes, you liar.
No, I was. Seriously, my week was fucking swag. Seriously. Okay, first of all,
my weekend was dripping swag goo. And I don't even eat that shit. Because it's
right,
not healthy.
I'll let you have that. The reason why I say that is, one, the afro really turned out really well.
I gotta say,
full week with the fro.
I hate you.
Definitely put a different pep in my step. I'm gonna say it. I was oozing swag.
Like, you had like a snail trail of swag.
Like, that's all I left behind me in my wake was swag.
Swag.
Just like, ooh, there's some swag.
It's like, has anyone seen Ninja? Just follow the swag trail.
Just follow the swag trail. It'll lead you right to me. Like, that's pretty much what happened. You know, got some new stunner shades. I was like, ooh, swag. It's just, I'm not, you know.
See, my swag was a shiny, glittered notebook.
I mean, you got some swag, too. You got some nerd swag. I was just dripping in, like, appearance swag.
Yep.
Like, it was all superficial swag. But sometimes you gotta have a week like that.
Yes, I agree.
Especially as a girl. Like, sometimes you just want to feel pretty. I felt really pretty.
Well, that's what, yeah.
I felt really pretty.
I got a pretty,
pretty
dress with seagulls on it.
Yeah, isn't this about pretty?
And then I got a clubbing shirt that Ash Mom's like, you better keep that up on your shoulders. That better never drift. Granted, it totally could drift and still work.
Well, I mean, for your needs, but not for Ash Mom's needs.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. So, there's that. So, I guess, collectively, our week was swag.
Yeah.
All right. So, that was last week. This week, we got all kinds
sisters
of...
sisters with augmented greatness. Swag.
Wow. You just came up with that right now on the spot.
In my brain hole.
That's like... I gotta tell you. Golf clap for Panda.
Like...
golf clap for Panda. Don't make that face, though, because now you just made derpy face. See, this is why we can't do video.
No, this is why we should be doing video.
I don't think you want people having screenshots of your derpy face.
If they watch my freaking Fridays videos, they could easily freeze frame
you do,
several
you
faces.
Make a few
I make
faces, but you.
I don't make derp face, but I definitely make face that makes people go, Panda, not smart.
No.
We can tell you're thinking,
yes.
But we can't tell if you're thinking about
like
your car.
Shit.
Or if you're thinking about what you're going to say next.
Yeah. So there's that. But other than that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, once we get Esh Studios done.
Esh Studios.
We can do that. I've already been looking at soundproofing, but anyway, I'm digressing. We have gamey, nerdy stuff to talk about.
When don't we have gamey and or nerdy stuff to talk
about?
We're
typically doing,
real life stuff.
Real life stuff or...
family stuff. Step by step.
No.
Family Matters?
No. No, this is an Urkel-free zone.
Now, come on, guys. There's a bevy of beauties over there just waiting to be swept off their doctor's shoulder. So what do you say, Funsters? Let's dance! Well, okay. I'll break the ice. Har! Crank up the music. It's time to do the Urkel. Your pelvis, I'm telling you, baby, it's better than that. up high. Spin and dip and jump and gravort and finish it off with a laugh and snort.
Again, that's kind of nerdy.
It's not on you.
Stop it. Stop it. Focus. Focus, Panda-san. When we do movie stuff, because we've gone out to see a movie that may not necessarily be nerdy, but the fact that we saw it made it nerdy. We've talked about movies that we've gone to see before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I saw a movie.
I really don't consider, like, Harry Potter to be nerdy.
I think so.
It's definitely fantasy. But it's not really, like...
I don't know, nerdy. Because it...
Okay, so for instance, all right? Just walk with me here for a minute, and then I will be happy to hear your point of view. Okay? Ready? The Hobbit. Nerdy. Mad-ass nerdy. Lord of the Rings trilogy. Lord, have mercy. Mad-ass nerdy. Okay? Harry Potter... fantasy, but I don't necessarily equate it with nerdy, although nerds enjoyed it, and here's why. The group of sets of the books that both of those were based off of targeted to two different age groups. Okay? Harry Potter targeted for children. Older than 12-year-olds enjoyed, but we all agree, if you look at the books, you know, they were targeted to children. Lord of the Rings? Not so much. If your 7-year-old got through the first of the trilogy books, your kid's a fucking genius. If they got through it and understood it. Okay? Your 7-year-old can get through the first Harry Potter book and glean what's going on. Understand what's going on. Doesn't have to be a fucking genius. Know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why I say Harry Potter, definitely fantasy, appreciated by nerds, not necessarily nerdy at its core, versus a Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Pandalicious, your thoughts?
Really, I don't see a strong difference, even though the demographic and the targeting is obviously set for different ages. But
is that rich the original source content is written?
Will you let me finish?
Yes, go ahead. I was just interjecting.
Because even after
the one thing you
even
mention.
After the initial Harry Potter books got released, then they started doing all the branching offs, like all the mystical monster books, all those things that could be, you know, if you watered it down, zoology, geology, the study of plants. So all these things that might spark an interest in a small kid, but someone who really wants to understand the world, who's old enough to really be able to put those plot points together, would clamor for these books. I have friends who have all those books that don't even have to do with the actual story, but just the world
I'm
of Harry
following
Potter.
You.
And those are nerds.
Yes. All I'm saying is, the level at which the content is written is what I'm saying defines for me...
For you.
The nerd level. This is written, and by this...
No, mind you, I didn't read Harry Potter until high school.
Harry Potter, I know, but the level at which the content is written, it is written so that a 7 to 12-year-old can understand and follow the story.
All right.
Okay.
Yes.
Whereas Lord of the Rings is not written in any way for a 7-year-old to attempt to read and follow. Can we agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is much more nerdy because to me it is written at a level to be understood by adult nerds and followed. Than this being Harry Potter. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So at its core, as far as who it was written for, this was written to me, and by this I mean the Lord of the Rings, for a nerd loving fantasy audience. Harry Potter was written for a child entertainment audience. It just happened to be sci-fi based.
Or fantasy based.
And fantasy based, which nerds glammed onto because nerds love sci-fi.
But I'm for saying, the most part.
Correct. And fantasy. So I'm saying nerds globbed onto this, but it wasn't designed for nerds. So I don't consider it to be a nerdy movie because it wasn't designed for us.
Well, I think that's a question that we are neglecting to even really ask.
What?
So we all know the whole theory about how, or rather it's actually technically been proven that the Fifty Shades of Grey books was actually a fan fiction, a Twilight fan fiction, that they just changed the names of, and it just took off, like, rocketed into space.
I don't know, because I wasn't really paying attention to Fifty Shades of Grey.
Anyway, well, I was following some news trends, and that's what they're saying, that these great books, and I'm using air quotes here, ladies and gentlemen,
printed porn,
with no pictures, which printed makes porn. No damn sense. They should make it a pop-up book. They no, should make it a pop-up book.
You can't do 50 Shades of Grey as a pop-up book.
Anyway.
Somebody reading it on a plane is going to just...
Anyway. Well, my question is, on that theory that, you know...
It's a Twilight fanfic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do... Because I'm sure that there are some erotic fanfictions of Harry Potter. And why haven't we gotten a movie of that? We're going to get 50 Shades of Grey before we get...
First of all, you can't have an erotic Harry Potter flick... Because, again, the audience for the movies was children, Pandalicious.
Right, but this no, wouldn't be for children. No,
do you think that, what's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
Thank you.
Rowling.
J.R. I was like, J.R.
J.K.
Yeah,
J.K.
Look, listen.
She's Rowling.
Do you honestly think that she's going to willingly license... Okay, let's even forget her. Do you think Warner Brother is going to allow and license the Harry Potter characters for a... Hold on. For a licensed, wide distribution, adult erotica?
No.
That's right. No. Because when Because when they do that... You lose the ability to now make it a family attraction at your theme parks.
Yeah.
You lose the ability to make it a mass marketable merchandise thing because you're not going to want to get your kid that wand now.
Ew.
Yeah, not for your kid. Come on.
Well, I don't have any children.
Yes.
I'm not thinking about okay? children.
If you want sci-fi based erotica, it's called porn. And there, I'm sure,
Space
are at least several
Space
different.
Wars.
Okay, I'm sure that there are several different Harry Potter and the something or another's ass. Okay, I'm sure it exists.
I really don't want...
I'm sure it exists. So if you want to see it, you can. It, obviously, it's not going to be high grade. And you're not going to see it on a 60 or 70 inch screen, or 70 foot screen. But if you have a 50 inch television, you can watch your
film.
Yes. Your cinema.
No.
As you
like. Cinema's different. Cinema's different.
Okay.
My naughty things are called films.
Okay, well, you can
air
see
quotes.
Your films to your delights called the internet.
I can't.
Well, you know what?
I can't. I have rules about that stuff.
I don't want to talk about your rules. Can we talk about our video game stuff like we were supposed to be talking
Fine.
About?
Fine.
We can talk about that other stuff in the other podcast that we never get around to doing.
I know. It'd be a really good podcast.
We have no time.
Yeah.
So, let's get back to the video game stuff.
Yeah,
now,
video games.
We've left the nerd conversation. So, this week, I've been playing Sleeping Dogs, which we talked a little bit about at PAX East. When we got to go to Anthem and hang out with Machinima and check it out.
Sup, Machinima? What's up?
What up, Machinima? Y'all throw good parties. And we were kind of excited about it. We didn't really get to spend a whole lot of time with it because by the time we got to the party, it's kind of winding down. And so we were getting the last of the...
The last
okay,
calls.
I've got a little bit of voice left so I can do this one more demo just one more time. But, you know, our first reaction was, okay, so it's Grand Theft Auto
with
Yakuza. Asians. Top, on top, okay. Actually, I'm going to say right now that at least speaking for me, because I try not to speak for you all the time.
I appreciate that.
Sometimes I do.
Our voices are different.
They are, but sometimes they're the same.
You know, like, some people have a hard time.
Like, 65% of the time, it's the same.
Do you know how often I ask people when they're like, oh, I listen to the show, I'm like, can you tell which one I am? Without me telling you which one I am?
No. I mean, well, if you listen to the podcast, though, like, have you listened to the podcast?
We do. Well, recently, the last time I asked, someone's like, well, Ninja had a cold, so.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not sick, so you have to be the other
one. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm so glad that you can tell.
Well, our voices do sound alike when you listen to them back.
Our registers are similar.
Very similar. I mean, it happens to be that we're related. We are siblings.
What?
Surprise! We sound alike.
No.
I'm going to throw another one for you. Ready? Shocker, we kind of look alike. We have features the same.
Well, yeah.
Other than my shortness. But anyway, back to the game.
If I take off my shoes, I'm a little shorter.
Yeah, not enough. My category, kiddo. So let's just keep it rolling, okay? All right.
Keep rolling, rolling. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That was bad.
You went there. That's right. You went
out of my head.
To Limp Bizkit.
Oh.
They disbanded recently.
And no one likes Limp Bizkit.
Nobody
likes. You want big, sturdy, fluffy biscuits. You want
fluffy biscuits, you don't want hard biscuits, but you really don't want Limp biscuits.
They look sad in
They're
my mind.
They're sad.
They're all like, we're sad biscuits.
Ooh, sad biscuit. So anyway, I feel like I'm going to be saying that a lot this podcast.
Probably.
So anyway.
That's really the name of the episode.
Really. Probably will be. So anyway, picked up the game this week, and my first impression playing the game was that I was wrong on my first impression.
You were wrong?
I'm big enough to admit when I'm wrong.
But you're small.
I mean, it doesn't... That's because I'm not wrong a lot.
Ba-dum-bum.
Not gonna say it. The first impression that I had that the game was GTA, Grand Theft Auto, with Yakuza sprinkled on top, was off-base.
Ooh.
So, in Sleeping Dogs, you play a character named Wei Shen, and you are tatted up and returning to Hong Kong. You are working a drug deal. Popo shows up.
Hey, you're just trying to get some money to feed your dog.
You know, bust the shit. You try to flee the scene.
You get busted.
You end up down at the Hong Kong PD, the HKPD, and it's not looking good. You know, there are people that are trying to talk some shit, and like, we can't find anything on you. You must be a bad man. And then
You're a bad man.
Cop goes over, turns off the camera, and you're like, oh man, I'm about to get beat up. No, you're not. Ready? I'm gonna spoil the shit out of it. Oh wait, no I'm not. This happens in the first 5 minutes of gameplay. You're a cop. You're actually working undercover. And this drug deal and the early bust by the police was a way to get you brought in to the police station to meet your contacts at the HKPD and to get thrown into a cell with your target. Kid named Jimmy. Everything goes to plan. You get thrown in general lockup. Jimmy recognizes you. You guys start talking. He's like, what are you in for? You're like, nothing that'll stick. And he's like, great. When you get out, come see me. I'll hook you up and introduce you to Winston. And you're like, Winston, that dude we used to run around when we were kids with? And he's like, yeah. Yeah. He's running, you know, thing now. And so he is part of the Sonongi, which is a group within the triad. Basically,
is the Triforce of Power, the Triforce of Courage?
No, not the Triforce, the Triads. So
I know, I'm making a joke.
I know, but just for the people who maybe don't know that, maybe they don't play the Nintendo and don't know the Zelda.
Who doesn't know Zelda?
People who don't play the Nintendo, they don't know Zelda. I know, okay. It's sadness. Okay, so anyway...
I wonder how many times I can get you to do that.
Stop it. You start running through all these mini missions. You basically have to earn Winston's trust. Winston is fighting with a guy named Dog Eyes. They used to be friends. They're both Sonongi, but even though they're supposed to be splitting this district, basically, Dog Eyes is greedy and wants the whole thing for himself and is trying to muscle Winston out. Winston doesn't really appreciate it.
Well, why would he?
So your goal is to earn Winston's trust by doing whatever things need to be taken care of that Dog Eyes is causing trouble for him for. As you do these things, you also have missions. So you have two levels of missions. You have your cop missions, and then you have your triad missions. As you look at the map, which opens up and very much does remind me, as far as the HUD goes, of Grand Theft Auto, in that you have different boroughs that you can basically drive into, walk into, and that kind of stuff. You have things that are laid out on the map that are either a cop mission, which are highlighted in blue, or a triad mission, which is highlighted in green.
Oh, okay, green. I was about to say, I'm like, okay, don't go red-blue on me.
No, green. And so you can choose completely which order that you want to do them in. Your cop missions push your cop story forward, but they don't necessarily push your triad thing forward.
Nice!
So it's not like if you did this mission, you now don't have the ability to do this triad mission.
See, I was just about to ask you if there was a balance like that.
It does not throw you completely out of whack. So if you want to build up your cop skills a little bit first, you can do that and do those missions and then come back and still have the same starting point on your triad missions, which is really nice because there are some skills, because the skill trees are different. So you have a skill tree that you build basically cop points for, and then you improve your cop skills, which have to do with firearms, which have to do with vehicle stealing, but also ultimately weapon stealing if you get all of the points. There are two arcs in the cop tree, as well as two arcs in the triad tree of skills. So basically you're looking at needing to earn and spend between 10 and 14 points, depending upon which arc you're building. The skills build upon each other, which is very cool. So for instance, as a cop, you can spend a skill point on getting a Slim Jim, which makes it easier to boost a vehicle because it doesn't set off the alarm.
Snap to a Slim Jim.
So if you steal a car while there's a cop there, cops come and chase you. Whereas in Grand Theft Auto, they just kind of walk by unless you, shot them or hit them.
You shot them, you hit them, or they saw you
smash the window. Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? I fell.
Right. Whoops. Well, the AI is definitely much improved in this game. I made the mistake because I didn't realize that the
HUD... Did you not read the mission?
I read the mission. I didn't realize that the HUD was trying to tell me that there was a cop nearby me next to this car that I was standing to. And when you start the game, you only have a bike. You don't have a car. And my bike was good, but...
You could not run the cop?
You can't, first of all, you don't really outrun the cops unless you have, a souped-up fucking vehicle. The cops have really fast cars. They constantly catch up
to you. It's Hong Kong!
Yeah.
Fast and furious!
So I find what my best strategy has been for getting away from them is to drive into oncoming traffic and make them drive into other cars and then dart up an alley that they can't follow me.
Crafty.
Or take my bike upstairs, because they can't follow me upstairs. So I usually try to remember or keep my eyes peeled, because you do drive really fast, for alleys or stairs. And I find that it's better if I run them into oncoming vehicles than go upstairs than just try to flat out outrace them. Because right now the two vehicles that I have, because I've only been playing for a couple of days, are not fast enough to outrun them flat out. Cars are expensive. Unlike Grand Theft Auto, you can't just steal a car and take it back to your parking garage and just have it. It no verky like that. You actually have to purchase your vehicles. So you have to earn money. Both cop missions and triad missions earn you money. There are also lock boxes that are hidden all around the city. So each borough you go into has between 10 and 15. At least right now I've only seen two cities. So they both have 15, but I think there's some fewer lock boxes in smaller cities.
Mm-hmm.
These lock boxes have cash in them. And they're just strewn all about the city. Once you open one, it'll tell you how many more are left in that particular
area,
but they won't highlight on the map for you where they
are. No, you have to find them. Whoops, here's a box.
It encourages you to explore the city. And the city is really large. There's no place in the city that you can't go. So there are all kinds of stairs that you can go up. There are massage parlors all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
They help your health. Shut up.
Sure they do.
Shut up. There are health parlors. There are clothing stores. Unlike in Grand Theft Auto, when you change your clothes, it didn't really affect your character. your clothes do affect your character in this game. So there are different sets that you can buy that provide different buffs. So, for instance, right now I have on, I call it my urban hipster outfit, which is some saggy baggy jeans with, you know, my t-shirt kind of sort of popping out so you can see my belt. But as you look at different vendors and you go through different hats and pants and shoes and belts and accessories, they will add, you know, +5 to your melee attacks. Or if you put together a whole outfit, it'll do +5 or +10 to your general fighting skills or your ability to boost cars, or depending upon what you put together, you can actually buff out your character. So I like that it's purchases for a purpose, not just purchases to fill up my closet.
Right.
Some of the missions that you'll do for a drug bust, you'll basically find these drug dens and run the hood rats, I'll basically call
hood
them,
rat, that are hood in rats. There,
out by beating them up. Then you have to do a thing that I thought was really interesting, which is basically hack the nearby camera that's there. So in all these dens, there happens to be a surveillance camera, but right now that particular hood rat group controls the camera. What you end up having to do is hack it, and it's not just like opening the box and boom, it's hacked. You basically have to figure out the 4-digit code. What happens is you get a certain amount of attempts, and I can't remember if it's 6 attempts or 8 attempts. The reason why you get so many attempts is because you get no clue as to what the 4-digit code is.
So you have to fuck around with it.
You have to fuck around with it, but the mechanism for fucking around with it is really interesting in that you basically get color-coded after you put your first digits in of what's either perfect in the spot, is part of the code but you have it in the wrong spot, or is not part of the code. So what I find myself doing each time I get this is writing down the numbers 1 through 9, and I'll put in my first code and I'll go, okay, so this number is in the code but I have it in the wrong place and these 3 numbers aren't, so I'll knock out the 3 numbers that aren't. Then I'll pick another 2 sets and I'll move that one number that's right and go, okay, well, did I get it in the perfect spot? Oh, I did. Okay, cool. So I'll circle it and I'll know that, okay, that number I don't have to worry
about.
That's
in the third spot. That never moves.
And then I figure out the other 2 from there. When I was just trying to do it from memory, it didn't work so much and I didn't crack the box.
Memory not so good, huh?
Not so good. Now, the nice thing about it is if you mess it up after all of your tries and you don't unlock it, you don't have to rerun out hood rats. You just have to close the box and start all over again with a new set of numbers, but it is a new completely code.
Oh.
So you have to start all over from scratch again. So I do like that in that it's not a free gimme of, okay, well, you tried 9 times and you didn't get it. Now try 9 more times. It's the same code. You know, it completely changes from time to time. And I thought that was a unique mechanic to add to the game. Then once you've hacked the camera, you have to go back to your apartment because your TV is set up as a closed circuit, so it can then monitor those cameras.
It's a CCTV!
It is. And then you use the camera to watch activity now in that den, and what you're doing is basically identifying the supplier that comes in there. So you have to zoom the camera in, you have to catch them actually delivering the goods, and then you mark them and say, okay, this is the person to arrest. The cops go in and arrest them, you get 10 grand.
Nah.
So right now in the city that I'm running through, there are about 8 of those. So there's basically 80 grand in money just clearing those out
available. Oh my god, to I would me. Just start with those.
Exactly. And so you can very quickly get some serious bank as long as you've got, you know, good fighting skills. But there are all kinds of mini things going on, and for lack of a better word, I'll call them side quests, but they're not really side quests because they really do all feed into your story if you choose to do them, but they're optional. You don't have to do them if you
right,
don't want
to. Right, you can
to.
Really stick main story if you want to, but correct. If you want a but full expanse really of full, what's going on.
You can do it, and you can spend a lot of time earning a couple of different things. So like I said, there are the cop points that you earn. There are the triad points that you earn. You also earn melee points. So at one point, you are introduced to a kung fu master through a mission where you are guiding a lost American chick named Amanda to this kung fu school.
Ha, go figure.
That she wants to attend because she's kind of trying to have a world experience. So she's traveling the world, having experiences.
Amandas and pandas often try to have world experiences.
Mm. So, you meet
the whole world
this kung fu teacher. Turns out to have been Wei's teacher when he was younger. And he ends up giving him, or opening up a side quest where there are the signs of the Zodiac,
signs of the Zodiac
statues that are from...
no, wait, is it the Chinese Zodiac?
Yes.
So, like, the rat.
Yes.
And the hare.
Correct.
The tiger.
Tiger.
The dragon.
Yes. And these statues are really meaningful to the master, but they've been stolen, and so they're spread all around all the boroughs. For each statue that you find, when you return back to the teacher, he will teach you new melee moves. And so that's how you actually open up and level up that skill tree track.
Do each of the... Oh, do you get to choose what kind of melee attack you learn from each of them? Or does it seem to be based off of what kind of...
It's not really based off of the statue that you bring back. Or
because that would have been super fucking interesting.
That I didn't really see.
Well, I mean, you're still really early in your
Exactly.
game.
Exactly. I've only found one additional statue. So I didn't really see the moves that you learn being tied to the statue. But the moves that you learn are in a specific arc. So just like there are two arcs for the triad and the cop points, for things like the melee and the... face, which I'll talk about in a second, they are direct.
Alright.
There's just the one arc.
So what's this I hear about face?
So face is basically street cred. Because just like you have the triad missions and the cop missions and basically the melee missions to find these statues, you also have the ability to do quote-unquote favors for people around the district. If you do these favors, so they have, sometimes they're escort missions, sometimes they're just delivery missions for people around the area, you earn street cred. Street cred makes you more visible and seen as being more reliable to Winston, but you basically earn face. People around the neighborhood get to know you, you earn basically
their
swag.
And
basically neighborhood swag. You get their respect, and then that down the road opens up things like discounts at shops and easier getaways from the cops and whatnot, and also discounts for things like purchasing cars and purchasing clothing. So it's really, really deep as far as the skill leveling system. The fighting system is interesting in that it gives you the feel of a button masher. Button mashing is not the way you want to go.
No, really?
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
I've never been one to travel the road of button mashing.
Well, you gotta remember, I got my start on button mashers. So, as you first start playing, it feels like when you're in a fight, it's a button mash. It's not, because the gameplay actually weaves in QTEs. Quick time events. So,
I think we know what QTEs are.
You know what a QTE is. But
QTE
guess what?
No, I don't know what that is. A QTE is, yes.
Yes, but you know what a QTE is. But not everybody listening to our podcast is on the same nerd level as we are in gaming.
I'll put it on the image with
okay?
the podcast.
So don't just assume. Because when you assume, you make an ass out of you.
And
not
me.
Not me.
Yes.
Just you.
No, both.
Your assumptions
both
mess you up.
Both.
Not me.
Done.
And so there are... you know, these contextual quick times where, you know, if you're button mashing, you're going to mash right over it. You're going to hit the wrong button more times than not, and you end up getting punched.
In the face.
Serious damage, whereas if you'd hit the right button during the QTE, you probably would have avoided it completely. And I've died a couple of times because I didn't realize one was coming up, because it's woven into the fight. It's not like there's a slow town and you have like 2 seconds to realize it's coming.
My face to your fist style. How do you like it?
It doesn't happen like that. So you want to really be mindful of what buttons you're pushing at what time. Even when you're in a fight, it actually is better to perform a combo and then see what's going to happen to you than to combo and then go on the offensive immediately again. As you are fighting, the AI does not attack you one person at a time. They will group attack you. And so you'll see when you're engaged one person, another person that's about to throw a punch at you, they'll highlight in red.
Yeah, which I saw when I was watching you play.
And what you need to do at that point is...
grab them.
Counter.
Grab.
The grab, which you have a dedicated button for grab, doesn't always work, depending upon the strength of what they're throwing or if they have a weapon. So you have to counter them. And that's by pushing in the direction and tapping the Y button. Then you'll counter. If they fall to the ground, you have the ability to hold your grapple button, which will, at this point, at least for my character, again, because I haven't leveled up all of his melee attacks, will pick that person up. And then I get the ability to either ram them into a nearby wall or an interactive element on the
stage. Like that toilet.
Like the toilet. There are also places where you can, if you're outside, you can slam them onto a counter and then grab the closing grate, you know, the metal things that people bring down so you can't break into them, and bring it down and close it right on their stomach, which basically, you know, knocks them the fuck out. I have done things where I've broken people's arms, I've broken their legs.
Yeah, I've heard the snapping of
limbs. I've punched them in the nuts.
You've punched them in the nuts?
Yeah, yeah. There's one takedown where you basically grab, for a person who's doing a hard kick to your head, you grab their leg and you sweep them down, and then while they're down, you go, nut knocker, and they just, that's it. Which works for me. Because I
Someone's
want them to
been
stay
studying
down
with Johnny Cage.
And not get up. Nut knocker. Woohoo!
Toasty.
I did that a lot. I'm not going to lie.
I know you did. Yours is quite perfected.
Now, but overall, I'm actually very impressed with the game. More so than I thought I was going to be from the time that I spent with it at PAX East, because we really didn't get to do any time with it at E3 this year. I couldn't even find it. I wasn't sure that
I wasn't looking.
That Square even brought it. I'm sure that they did because the game hadn't come out yet, but really the draw.
They had it in one of those inner parts like they did with the Gears.
Oh, well, they didn't invite me into that, so I didn't get to
see
it.
Yeah, me neither, but that's okay.
But all in all, I'm really enjoying it. There are a couple of things that are driving me nuts.
What's driving you nuts?
The camera is mad sensitive.
But everyone is always going to have a gripe or two about cameras. You're never going to get the perfect camera in the perfect game.
It's so sensitive, though, it makes me dizzy. So you can control the camera and complete 360. So you can be rolling down the street and you can use your right thumbstick and move the camera to your right, to your left, or all the way behind you. So because it's so sensitive, if my thumb is just coming off of, let's say, the X button, and I'm moving it to the R button, and instead of going all the way above it and bringing my thumb down on the button, let's say I just tap the R stick, camera goes, woo, and flies all the way to the left. And I'm like, I'm still driving. Oh my God, where am I? I'm not looking. Ah. And you do take a little damage if you run into the environment, because damn near everything in the environment is breakable. If you run into people, they get pissy. Sometimes they'll fight with you. They'll talk shit. If there's a cop nearby, if you run into the thing, now the cops are chasing you. As an example, let's say you run into a guide rail. There's a cop there. Cops start chasing you.
But you didn't hurt anyone. You just hurt yourself.
But I violated it's a traffic violation. They start chasing you. And you're like, fucking camera! So I have started playing the game with my Razer controller, which has the sensitivity.
Yeah, so let's say.
And I had to turn the sensitivity all the way up, but that finally helped. So I'm not throwing the camera all over the place all the damn time.
What else is driving you crazy?
So there's this weird frame rate thing that happens when you back up on a bike.
You're really...
Here's the thing, okay? And here's why I say it's weird and why it drives me nuts is, your bike is really sensitive, your camera is really sensitive. So there are a bunch of times where I'm trying to make a turn.
Do you fall off your
and
bike?
No, you don't fall off your bike. But I overshoot it, so I end up on a sidewalk. So I have to back up so I can get back on the road. The backup should be really smooth. It should, you know, just curve back. What happens is you get this real jagged, like, step back, there's almost a pause, and then it seems to catch up.
Okay.
And so
Every time.
When you're on a bike. It doesn't happen as often when you're on a car, but it happens
when you're on a car or in the car.
I don't know about on a car. I've only been on top of a car while I've been stuck. It only happens when you're on a bike.
But you said it doesn't happen when you're on a car, so I'm like, when have you been on a car?
Well, I've been on a car twice. Like I said, you can climb and you can fucking go on everything. You can climb if there are enough jagged edges. You can fucking climb a building. You can free run almost anywhere you want. So I found this out by accident because I was running from a cop and I ended up scaling a truck that was stopped at a red light. Now, I'm pretty sure if the truck started moving, I would have stayed on top of the truck.
Okay.
But
figured I would ask.
Yeah, but it didn't move, so I don't know. So I'm pretty sure you can be on top, because one of the skill things that you can unlock is, as you're jumping from vehicle to vehicle, enter a slowdown time to help your aiming of a vehicle. So I imagine that that's going to happen. So there will be vehicle-to-vehicle jumping missions. So I'm going to go that, yes, you can be on top of a vehicle while it's moving. I just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
I can't imagine that you would have a skill tree point place that you could upgrade around that unless you could do it. I just haven't gotten there yet. But it doesn't happen as often to me when I am in a vehicle. But it happens every time that I'm on a bike. And so it's a little disjarring to me on the motion stuff. And it takes a second for me to kind of come back out of it. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, the room that I typically play in, I like to keep a little bit dark because that's easier on my eye to play. Mostly because I don't have my gunner glasses because somebody was borrowing them because they were going to use them all the time.
They're still upstairs, untouched and unscathed. You can take them at any time.
They could be brought back to me at any time. They were lent out. They could be brought back. It's like a Blockbuster. Blockbuster doesn't come to your house to pick up the videos.
They should have. Maybe they would have been busy a little bit longer.
No, they would have been spending all that gas to go pick up these. Like, knock, knock, knock. Are you done with Weekend at Bernie's 2? You've had it for like 3 years. Can we have it back? Can we have it back?
I never stole anything from Blockbuster. I always returned that shit early. As soon as I was done watching it. All right, I'm going to return it back.
Well, you're one of the people that tried to help them stay in business, but you were only one of a very few.
I was one of seven.
You were one of seven. So that's a little disjarring to me. I wouldn't say that it drives me crazy, but it's disjarring. And so it makes those moments where I know that they're going to happen less fun.
Oh,
I got to do this thing again. And so I try to look away when it happens, just because it does mess with me a little bit, the okay. Jagged thing. But those right now are really the only two. Other things that are a little bit off are the timing things, but that's more on me getting used to the game's timing as opposed to the game's timing being off. Again, I've only been playing it for a couple of days. And really, let's be honest, I only got to play it a couple of hours on a couple of days, so this is really my first, you know,
full day assessment.
First
24 hours.
Thoughts, assessments. You know, I definitely, once I get through the game, we'll come back and do a, okay, now that it's all done, here's what I think in total. But I gotta say, I'm much more positive about Sleeping Dogs than I thought I was gonna be. Like, I was so sure there was gonna be a game that I was gonna pick up, I was gonna play, we were gonna talk about it on the podcast, I was gonna have you play with it, and then I was literally gonna turn around and change that shit back in at GameStop.
And
I don't think that's gonna happen. I'm actually enjoying it. It's a lot deeper than I thought it was gonna be. It definitely has that very, you know, hard-boiled character type feel, you know, because you are an undercover cop, you're trying to infiltrate the Yakuza. So it almost feels to me like they took a Sammo Hung movie, just pick any of his.
All right.
You could even pick Hard Boiled if you wanted to, and made it a video game, an open world exploration video game.
All right.
So I really have been enjoying it, and I'm surprised at how much I'm enjoying it, because I really didn't think that it was going to be very deep. Like, everyone was like, yeah, Sleeping Dogs looks amazing. And as far as the look goes, it does. The going through the environment very much reminds me of Shenmue, in that you have vendors all over the place that you do need to manage your health. So there are vendors that will sell you different types of foods. Different types of foods give you different types of buffs for short periods of time. And it's indicated very clearly on the screen, but not in a way that is obtrusive to any action that's going on, which is really cool.
Oh, that's good. Smart.
So you get melee buffs, you get health buffs, and that kind of thing, which is really cool. But again, they work for a limited time. The mechanics are really, even though they're throwing a lot at you, at no point do you feel overwhelmed. You know, you have all these skill trees that you need to upgrade, but it's very clear on how you do that. You do the missions, and that's it. And if you wanted to get deeper and really figure out what you should do when, you can, but if you just want to go along and do, okay, I'm going to do the bottom tree first, then I'm going to go back and I'm going to build up the top tree on this guy, you can. And there's no harm to your character in approaching it that way, as opposed to being really methodical in how you upgrade and when you upgrade. It's very clear when you get upgrades, which is very cool. I feel like you get achievements when it's appropriate to get achievements, as opposed to just achievements for completing every chapter. So there are achievements that you do get for completing chapters or the plot moving, activities. But there are also other achievements for, you know, completing the real world stuff, like getting your first chunk of face, which will give you a 5 achievement score if you're playing on the Xbox or something like that. I'm curious to know if the gameplay mechanics are any different on the PS3 version than the Xbox 360 version.
I mean, outside
version.
Of the, you know, buttons.
Yeah, outside of the buttons.
It probably isn't.
You know.
But, I mean,
I don't know how the frame rate runs because
it's a different
processor.
I would assume that the frame rate would probably be better on the PS3.
So, I think it'd be... I'm curious to know
and cleaner,
that.
Probably.
So if any of you have played Sleeping Dogs on the PS3, hit us up on our Facebook page and let us know if you've seen the same little weird wonkiness in backing up when on a bike that I have. And also just your general experience with the game. And if it's, you know, what you thought it would be or not. Because I definitely will say I was surprised. I was expecting one type of game, completely got a different game. And I like the game that I got.
Good.
So
I'm happy for you.
You know, we'll see. You don't really sound all that happy.
I'm thrilled.
But we'll see if, you know, a couple of weeks from now when I finally finish this thing, if I have the same feelings about it or not. I have a feeling that I will.
Good.
Panda, what do you got?
I don't have nearly as much to talk about as you because I didn't get a new game this week. Granted, I still haven't opened Final Fantasy Dream Drop Distance. I need to do that, but I haven't.
Yeah, because you got a new game last week. You just didn't open it.
I just didn't open it. I need to because it's sitting right next to my...
also haven't played Prototype 2
or
Max Payne 3.
Which I think I'm just going to return because I don't think I'm going to play either of them. Sadly.
You suck.
I know.
You really need to play Prototype 2.
I don't wanna.
You need to.
I don't wanna.
As a black woman, you need to play.
I don't wanna. Alright, anyway, so...
I mean, you don't need to play Max Payne 3, but you actually do need to play Prototype 2.
But I watched you.
Even if you don't finish
it.
No, you watched me finish it.
That's the important part.
No, it's not the important part. You're starting to sound like Eshmom. The ending is what's important.
Oh
all
my god,
that
I am
before is filler.
She said filler?
Yes.
She needs to stop listening to me when I speak. Regardless. So like I said, I don't
Do you want to be Eshmom?
No.
Do you want to be Eshmom?
No.
Then you better play Prototype. You don't have to finish it, but you need to start it.
Anyway, like I said, I haven't played anything, so what I have to talk about is really from a visual standpoint, really.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
YouTube!
And I came across a trailer that 2K Games came out with for Borderlands 2.
Uh-huh.
Called Weemaway. Which it came out and we got a little press note about it, but like I was like, they don't need to I don't need to see trailers. You guys had me at my interview with Matt Charles.
You had me at Wub Wub.
You had me at PAX East and Wub Wub.
Right.
96% more, which actually is not true if you read the interview. They can't determine exactly how much Wub Wub there is because there wasn't any Wub Wub in the first game.
If there was no Wub Wub in the first game...
So it'd be 100% more Wub Wub.
There's 100% more Wub Wub.
But
there may have been some Wub in the background, which
maybe.
Is why they were like 96%.
Maybe 96%.
Because you've got to give yourself a plus or minus 5. They actually were giving themselves a plus or minus 4.
They were being more honest about it.
Correct.
Which I think was great.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I'm watching...
Undeniably, there's more Wub Wub.
There is
we can
so
all agree
much
on
more
that. There is way more Wub Wub.
And I was watching this trailer... And they actually did surprise me with some of the stuff that they were showcasing in it.
Yes, like?
There are going to be some characters, because if you played Borderlands, then I'm going to assume...
I did!
Okay, so I'll talk as if I'm just talking to you. You
okay.
played Borderlands.
I did!
And pretty much you only really interacted with characters, like your teammates, if you were playing in a multiplayer atmosphere.
I didn't.
Or with your quest giver.
Yes.
When you would say, hey, I lost my leg to some bandits. Go get my leg back.
Yes.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm.
No other real integration outside of a plot or, like, right before a boss battle.
Right.
Or something like that.
Correct.
Not anymore. We're actually going to get some interactive NPCs that we will encounter on Pandora this time.
Mm-hmm.
And dare I say, one of them looks eerily familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I'm not going to say too much about that.
Why? Because. Why not? I might not watch it on YouTube and you're talking to me. You can tell me.
No.
I won't tell anybody.
But that the microphone's
shh,
on.
Shh. You don't even see that over there.
I do see it. It's
stop
really big.
It.
And silver.
Stop looking at it.
I
just
can't.
Talk to me. Just have it. Look here.
I can't.
We're in this road.
Anyway.
Damn it.
Anyway. Stupid watch the trailer.
I don't want to.
But anyway, they were showing off a lot of, well, you know what happens in Borderlands 2. Kicking ass, taking names, gunfire.
Wub wub.
And we'll let you know because it goes off the song from the Lion Sleeps Tonight. So the a wee moe. And there was like a little, I guess, wub wub in the back, but they really wanted you to focus on the primal jungle esqueness of Pandora.
Okay.
You know, you're out.
Which is mad jungly.
Well, it's mad deserty, post apocalyptic y, you know, everyone for themselves kind of.
So is it
deal.
More like Rage laid out now as opposed to most of the greeny, like gloopy.
Baby.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right, Bill Cosby.
With my sweater and the puddings and the hippity dippity dabbity wobbities.
I can't believe you just did that. Yes, I can.
Totally adjusted my Cosby tie, my sweater. Too bad we're not a video podcast.
Oh, we got out of the studio.
But
done.
Anyway, they were showing all four of the your characters that you can play, you know, Zero being the assassin, which the one that's all completely cloaked out and pretty much black, and you really don't know what or what gender or what species it could possibly be, because even though it looks kind of humanoid, I don't feel like Zero is 100% human. I feel like they might be, it might be a hybrid alien type thing, because I mean, you're dealing with outer space.
Right.
You know,
there's all kinds of things that are possible in outer
exactly.
space.
Exactly. So, and because they're, you know, Zero's all cloaked, you kind of get the feeling like, well, if it was human, we'd see your face, right? Or you would, and so I'm not sure. So they're playing up on the mystery of that, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see, the siren again. What was her name? Wasn't it like Lilith?
I don't know.
No, that was in the first game, I think. But I know you get to change the names and stuff like that regardless, so I'm not even all that worried about it. But it was really funny because the giant gun-toting badass who looks like he's, like, really, really big, the big beefy one with, like, the mohawk,
mm-hmm.
he's actually kind of like a midget. He's small. Like, he's a short dude compared to everybody else in your lineup.
Really?
Which I think is really awesome because it kind of gives you, like, a dwarf feel for him.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's very battle-thirsty.
Right.
And, you know, and right. most dwarves in most lore kind of have that in them. They're battlers. They're fighters. They're like that.
Yes, they're making up for their short stature by being
a badass
warrior.
With their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But they showed a small girl who's got one of the little droney guys surrounded in C4, and she's just skipping along, and it's looking terrified because it knows something's going to happen to it. And she just detonates the C4 and blows his ass up. And she can't look no older than 11. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're psychotic. Then we have a very, very big, voluptuous, dare I say, circular, rotund woman.
Mm-hmm.
Who actually looks like my boss from my last actual job. Which is eerie. Especially when you see the trailer, you're like, that looks like Panda's boss. Maybe she was from Pandora. I don't know. I think she's out of this world in a bad way. And she has this big
bitter
southern
much.
She has a big southern accent, very much like my recent employer, my last employer. And she has this heart tattoo over one of her breasticles.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like, what? You're going to have to talk a little bit louder than that. And like it pans over to what she's talking to. And it's one of those giant trash compactors. And apparently she's put a shitload of those dudes in it. And she just scrunches them, so it's like this big blood spatter coming out of it. I'm just like, well, at least you're compacting. Recycle. Recycle, recycle, recycle. And I love that, because, I mean, I think that was one of the things that was missing in Borderlands 1 is that, yeah, you had your quest giver, and yeah, if you did what they wanted you to do, they gave you some type of money or swag or some type of upgrade for your guns.
Right.
But it's not like there was a lot of conversation between you and your counterparts if you were playing in a multiplayer atmosphere. So you really got lost in the monotony of go get this, shoot this up, boss time.
It had no character.
No, because everyone had a particular character, but you didn't see how that harmonized with what you were doing.
Right, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, so that as a atmosphere didn't have
it was missing character. It was missing some personality. Mm-hmm. That's what
I was getting to.
Because I mean, you got these four badass people, yeah, they're on a bus, they all kind of start off together, but it's not like, hey guys, let's go check out that cave. Fuck no, I'm down. And someone's already shooting. Like, you don't get the dichotomy of your, mm-hmm. your party.
Right.
Which I think they're going to... They're emphasizing more of in this.
Cool.
Which I'm looking forward to, because I definitely do plan to play with more than one person.
Pick me!
How about you?
Yay! I got picked.
And, you know, anybody else who happens to have it at the same time, too.
Yay! We all
so,
got picked. Wait, when does it come out? I might be broke.
September 18th.
I'm not gonna be broke. I'll be broke in October. Mad broke. In
Mad
October.
Broke.
But I have a flex fund in September.
In case of emergency, use this fund.
In case of emergency, break open savings account.
It's supposed to be for saving.
I saved it just for this. Borderlands 2. But I'm broke in October.
But yeah, so September 18th, we're gonna see it drop. So I'm kind of glad that they're releasing it right before, like, the real lockdown for holiday. Because I wouldn't have...
Broke bitch October.
It should just be broke bitch holiday, because...
Oh, I mean, we're going to be broke all the way through holiday. You got rumors of new iDevice being dropped in September.
I know!
You've got Borderlands 2, you've got Assassin's 3, Far Cry 3, yeah. Dance Central 3, Rock Band Blitz, you've got...
Are these all in September? Are we going
September
through
September and October.
Don't forget RE6.
Resident Evil 6. You've got what's the other one? I keep forgetting. There's like two
Hello Kitty Space Adventure 7.
No, don't be a dick. There's like three other games.
Hello Kitty Underwater Adventure.
No, it's not Hello Kitty Underwater Adventures. Screw you, I'll remember them.
Which is funny because cats don't like water.
No, but there are three other AAA titles that are coming out between September and October. I'm just forgetting them right now, but they'll come back. They'll come back around.
Yeah, because they'll eventually be on your couch.
Isn't the Rayman?
I think so.
And then there's something else. I don't know, but it'll come back.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's in there.
It's there.
It's like Ragu sauce. They're all in there. So, you know, you're looking at, you know, a $400 holiday before you even get to the phone or any other devices. You're just like, ooh, ow.
Yeah.
Ouch. Not to mention, you know, the promise of the Wii U being ready for holiday. Yeah, but, you know, Nintendo said holiday.
Let's see. Put your money where your mouth is, Nintendo. Put it in your whore mouth.
Put it up for pre-order, Nintendo, so I can trade my Wii.
I'm not trading my Wii for a Wii U.
I am.
Mm-mm. Not me.
Me.
But regardless.
So I can make you come play the zombie game.
No, if you're getting the Wii U, you can play Zombie U.
No, I'm not playing Zombie U.
Why are you not playing
Zombie
U?
It's not my game. We already had this discussion. We talked about this during E3 about it not being my game, it being your game.
Right, so I'll play it on my Wii U.
You said you're not getting one.
No, I didn't say I wasn't getting a Wii U. I just said I'm not trading in my Wii to get the Wii U.
What are you going to do with a Wii and a Wii U?
Awesomeness.
What? Like what? Like what?
I'm going to bedazzle it.
Really? In what space? You're going to have a Wii and a Wii U? You can't even put your PlayStation and Xbox on the same TV.
Yes, I can. I just don't. Because then Eshmom is like, what you playing? And then I can't just have my solid game time if I want to talk to my bros. I can't be like, yeah, suck my dick. Because then mom's like, you don't have a dick, Pamela. And I'm just like, damn it, mom. And then they hear and like, oh, is that your mommy in the background? Like, fuck that shit.
This whole exchange is hilarious to me and I need to be part of it.
Which is why I moved my PS3 up to my room so I could have some private gaming time without a peanut gallery. But I know that when the Beyond Two Souls comes, I'm going to have to move it back downstairs because that's the type of game Eshmom's going to want
to
watch me
play. Not to mention God of War 3. I mean, God of War Ascension.
Yeah, because she's already seen God of War 3.
Yep.
But regardless. Anyway.
Yeah, but she hasn't seen Ghost of Sparta.
We should show Ghost of Sparta.
No, she doesn't come down here, dude.
I know. This is like the place never visited for her.
Yeah.
Anyway. Getting back
now
to
now who's doing it?
I didn't say so. I just said anyway.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't count.
I think it should.
Borderlands 2. Really can't wait. They're actually showing the collector's edition and all some of the downloadable content. You'll get a golden key that's going to open up something. Some really awesome weapons to start
with.
So are
you getting the collector's edition?
No, I'm broke. I wish I could, but I can't.
Because I'm broke.
Either I get lights or I get video game. And without light, I can't play the video game. So I might as well be a good girl and do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
But literally, the trailer definitely sparked up my excitement and anticipation for the game. So if you haven't looked for it, it's up there on the YouTubes. I'll even probably put a link for it up with this.
Post.
However, yes, with the post, but however, it is, you know, I gotta put an age gate on there, so obviously be the proper age or have an adult with you who is the proper age to
just
see
link
it.
To it on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah,
YouTube
that's better.
Has the gate.
Yeah.
Or game trailers, because game trailers will have the age gate.
Or check it out, because I said so.
Well, that's it.
There yeah.
You have it. That's what we have for you this week, Sleeping Dogs and Borderlands 2. Sleeping Dogs, surprising. I'm not going to say sleeper hit, but definitely sleeper.
Something to take notice of?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll have more.
Like, she might not be, like, the 10 that you've been hitting on at the bar all night, but she's, like, a 7.5, 8.
I'm going to be like, I'll put it like this. She's straight up an 8, no beer goggles.
Are you 8 that you'd
eight,
buy a
no,
drink?
8 I'd buy a drink for.
Not the most expensive drink, though? Maybe, like...
No, draft.
An apple.
Whatever's on draft.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't buy her, like, an apple martini? Or what? Or pay attention to what drink she's got in her hand and be crafty?
Wait. It depends on whether or not it's a happy hour drink. Like, if the martini is a happy hour drink, then I'd buy it. If it's not a happy hour drink, we're still talking about what's on draft. Or the house stuff.
All right.
But still, I'd buy the drink.
You'd buy her a drink.
Yeah.
All right.
No beer goggles.
No beer.
Okay, beer goggles might move it up to a 10, is what I'm saying.
Whoa!
That's what I'm saying.
Like, beer goggles move you plus 2?
Yeah, depending upon the beer and how many you've had. Beer goggles, by definition, move you plus 1. Depending upon how strong the beer goggles are, you can move plus 2.
Fuck no.
Yes. That's how a lot of one-night stands happens, because you've been...
Well, I don't do the whole one-night
You've gone
standing.
From a 5 to a 7, and, you know...
Those poor 5s, when the beer goggles wear off, what are they supposed to do?
They don't know until they get kicked out. Like, yeah, I have to... visit my mom in...
I have to gnaw off my arm to get away from your face.
So you have to leave now. Thanks. I'll call ya.
We'll get pizza.
Exactly. That's what happens to a 5 that was plus 2 to a 7. You know who I really feel for? Those 6s that became 8, because they were treated like they were gold, and then not so much. That's who I really feel for.
I'm sorry, guys. We're sorry, 7s and 6s.
We're sorry, 7s and 6s. We really are. We feel for you.
We're 5s and 6s. Yeah, because if you're a 7, then you get bumped to a 9.
This is what I'm saying. So you get treated even worse next morning. That's what I'm saying. Like, you were treated like a supermodel and woke up with Shanaynay.
Shanaynay needs love, too.
Shanaynay needs love, too, but Shanaynay was treated like Beyonce, then went back to being treated like Shanaynay and didn't understand
why. Man, that's
why.
A bad Cinderella mix right there.
And didn't understand why. It's not cool.
She should have left the shoe. Should have left the shoe.
I'm serious. Beer goggles. They be messing up people's lives. I'm just saying.
Mm.
You know? So, if you want to keep up with other random stuff that we talk about, like this, then you want to make sure that you check out our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can find our best, fastest, and newest news over at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, because that's where you'll get it there first, and then it will show up on our website outside of our podcast, though it's always popping fresh at our site first. And if you don't want to use our long URL, you can use our short URL, which is...
ESH.co. That is ESH.co. The short address will bounce you to the long one. You can check out any articles that are written within the week. All questions and comments should be put on our Facebook fan page.
Facebook?
Land of Esh. And it's not just Esh on that, but you can go there, answer questions. I will answer them, no matter what they are. And that's a really dangerous statement to make.
But you just made it.
But I just made it, so I'm going to stick to it.
There you go. Balls.
Balls. But we are also on iTunes.
That's right. You can check us out there. We put out brand new podcast episodes each week. You can search us out by looking for Electric Sisterhood either in the iTunes podcast application. If you're on your desktop, you can still use the iTunes Music Store, as well as the Microsoft Marketplace. But if you don't want to go and use those stores and subscribe to our podcast, well...
you can plug us into any RSS reader or any podcast search engine, but... if you're looking for us, you should look for all the other cool shows that we align ourselves with.
That's right, because the Land of Esh is thick and deep.
Whoa.
Yeah, I went there.
Whoa.
We kick off your week on Mondays with a brand new episode of the ESH podcast. You can follow that up on Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Boston Bass Brigade podcast, which is the testosterone to our estrogen as far as video games and music and nerdy stuff go. But they also talk about other stuff like sports and theater and...
oh my god! Sports!
Oh my gosh! Sports! Then on Wednesday, get your nerd need fed. Gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Why do you do that to me?
Because it hurts you. It hurts you.
Oh my god! Burn! Burn!
But you can follow that up on Wednesday with Geek Aggro held down by our homeboy Deuces Wild. And for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, well, there's all the stuff that we talk about on our Facebook page that we write about. You can find it at egmnow.com/electricsisterhood, as well as the Twitters. We're all there. You can find everyone who makes up the Land of Esh by going to my Twitter page, twitter.com/ninjasista, and checking out the Land of Esh list. You can follow our news feed, which is all the newest stuff the moment we drop it out of our network, at ESH News. And, yeah, we're pretty much all up in your interwebs. All your base are belong to us, just so that you know. Because old memes don't die. People just forget them. People just forget them. So, Panda, this week, shit you diggin', go!
Oh, I hate being on the spot like that.
You're on the spot every week!
I know,
you go first every freaking week!
I know. Okay. You know what? You know what? I get this going second.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
What are you digging this week?
This week, I am digging nerd movies. I've been going through like a little phase, and I just re-watched the Real Genius movie and then War Games the other night.
I watched like the porn version of Weird Science the other night.
You know, when you say stuff like that and then you look at me with Muppet face, it really disturbs me.
Hello, ladies.
And, okay. I haven't watched Real Science yet. Either the original version or the porn version.
No, Weird Science. Weird Science, the porn version.
Weird
Science?
Yes, I know Weird Science. I didn't watch the porn version of that ever.
It was quite interesting.
I'm sure. I have no intention. Was Kelly LeBrock in it? No, don't ask. Don't answer that. Don't answer that. It's not right. I didn't ask that. Forget it. But I do need to watch Real Science, and then I feel like I need to cap it off with either the original Karate Kid, or, frankly... I feel like I could top it off with The Princess Bride, which is coming up on its, like, I want to say 25th or 30th anniversary?
I think it's 30th because they released the 25th version, which I have. Because they redid the cover art and shit and put it in Best Buy, like, 5 years ago.
Okay, so yeah, I think it's coming up on their 30th anniversary. And they just put it out on Blu-ray, so I feel like I could cap it off with The Princess Bride. It would be appropriate.
I don't know, because that's more...
it's inconceivable! See that face? Yeah. It's a nerd movie. Go ahead. Now what are you digging, Panda?
Oh my god, you're gonna let me go second? Yay!
You are always second player to my first player. I just tried to give you first seat because you give me shit about it.
Sometimes.
Every times.
Give you problems every time.
Okay. Gives all the problems?
I don't give you all the problems. Anyway, what I'm really taking this week. Dakota rings.
I thought you were going to say Dakota Fanning. I was like, what?
Fuck
you mean,
no.
You mean decoder rings?
Dakota. Decoder.
Because yes, you said with the Dakota.
Well, with my Bostonian accent, it is Dakota.
Well, you could fix it because...
Decoder. Decoder ring.
Thank you. Because I'm like, what's a Dakota ring? Is that like...
Well, it's a ring that you put it on your finger. And
that helps you get potatoes?
Like no.
What? So that's Idaho.
No, when you put it on, when you get a Dakota Fanning ring. It's like a mood ring. You put it on your finger, and depending on what kind of face she's making in the ring will help you determine what your mood is.
I want one.
I actually am surprised that I just made that up. They should make that.
I think it's a product over at Thinky.
It should be.
That's and if it's not, it really should
that's
be.
Where the, that's where I saw the Dakota ring that I want.
Oh,
it was over at Thinky.
Oh, Lord.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, with that, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And we're out of here, people.
Bye. We're